Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, November the 20th, 2025. 11-20-25, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. 1 week away from Turkey Day. Can you believe... Oh, I'm like Dr. Seuss. I'm a poet and didn't know it. 1 week away from Turkey Day. How about that? The station will not be on the air next Thursday. That's one of the few days of the year that we do take off. So no live broadcasting next Thursday for Thanksgiving, so you can sit at home and watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, amongst other things. So that's a week from today. But we are on today, and we will be on tomorrow and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Now, a few things I want to talk about before we get into the phone calls here this morning. I want to remind everybody, I don't even know if I've said this, been so busy with other things this week. There will be a big event going on tonight at 6 p.m. at Harding High School. Tonight at 6 p.m., there's a Marion City Schools board meeting. And during that board meeting, a matter of fact, I think the first thing happening at that board meeting tonight is Mary Ellen Withrow will be being recognized tonight at that board meeting. And the room that the board meeting is being held in is going to be named in her honor. And I believe there's going to be a plaque put up and a picture and some lettering. And it's going to be a great event. And there's going to be a presentation there tonight. I really don't know what all is going on. I'm just a part of the event myself. But if you want to come out tonight and honor a great lady, it's open to the public. It's a regular school board meeting. Should be a lot of fun. 6 p.m. tonight at Marion Harding High School. And I would not imagine that the presentation will take very long. I can't imagine it would go longer than 20 minutes or a half hour. But Mary Ellen will be there tonight. Some of her daughters will be there tonight. It's open to the public. Marion City Schools always does such a great job putting on their these type of events. So that's tonight, 6 p.m., Marion City Schools, Harding, during the Marion City Schools Board of Education meeting, honoring Mary Ellen Withrow during her birthday year here. Her birthday was just celebrated last month, was it? October the 2nd. A milestone birthday that I will not say the year. She celebrates a birthday every year, like we all do, you know. But I'm not going to say the year, but a big birthday this year, and Marion City Schools recognizing the occasion by honoring her by... with this room and a plaque and a picture and the little ceremony tonight. So it should be a lot of fun. It is open to the public, and you can attend that 6 p.m. Harding High School tonight. It should be a lot of fun. And I'll be a part of that presentation, which I'm very much looking forward to. I have something else to do today, a little... it's not really a presentation, but it's a public thing that I have to do today, but it's not open to the public, so I really can't talk about it yet. But I'll talk about it tomorrow once it's over, and I'll tell you what happened with that when I come back to the show tomorrow. Now, let's see, is there anything else to talk about? Well, I said yesterday, and a few people asked me about that, that there's somebody, you know, I've still got this cold going on, so if I'm not using the correct language or I sound a little off, you're going to have to give me a break here the next few days. I guess it's not a cold anymore. I'm just a little, I don't know. I wouldn't even say congested at this point. Just have a little, you know, thing going on. Residue from the cold that was. But I said yesterday that in this whole financial issue with the city, that there's going to be somebody who may get some redemption in this. Now, I'm still not going to say who that is, but somebody might be owed an apology in this whole thing. And it's not me, I'll tell you that. But I'm not going to talk about it yet, because I have talked to that person. and I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do. So I'm going to wait for them to do what they're going to do, and we'll see what happens. But they very well might be doing an apology, and there might be some redemption coming their way. So I'm going to leave it at that, and we'll move on from there. Now, next week is a big week here at the station. Next Wednesday is when we have our big Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving celebration. We'll be on Wednesday morning. Bob Welsh from Columbus will come in. I think he's making some kind of pumpkin pie pizza, is what I understand at this point. And we will choose our next two members to go into the Upper Crust Society. Now, we've thrown around some names this year of people who should go into the Upper Crust Society. And I'll tell you one name that I had not thought of for quite a while, and I ran into the gentleman last night, was Bob Bender. Bob Bender was a great radio man, great television journalist. I believe for Channel 10, WBNS, but he worked for WDIF here in Marion for many years, and also taught journalism at Harding High School for many years. So Bob's a great guy. I ran into him last night, still doing well. It's always good to see Bob. Maybe he's one of the people, one of the two, that we should honor. With this great honor. You know, you sign a pizza crust and Bob takes it back to Columbus. He turns it into a plaque and we have two more members of the Upper Crust Society. Now, so far, the members of the Upper Crust Society are myself, Mary Ellen Withrow, Buckeye Guy, George Kasotis, Marianne Michaels, Jack Kellogg, Brenda Donegan, and Sheriff Tim Bailey. So that's the list as we have it so far. If anybody has any suggestions, Bob Bender, I'm trying to think of the other names that were thrown out this year, because they do have to come in next Wednesday morning when we have our pumpkin pie pizza and sign their crust and have a picture taken. Oh, Larry Barnett was in the conversation. So we do need to ask these people and make sure they're available. So we probably should be tying a knot in this by the end of the week. So if anybody has any idea who the two people should be, let me know and we'll make this happen. 740-383-9944. And also, even though we won't be on the air next Thursday, we will be on the air next Friday. And next Friday is our big kickoff to the holiday season. And we'll have the Christmas trees up and the Christmas decorations, and Bob Welsh comes in next Friday as well from Columbus, and he brings the bread pudding, which is the old Lazarus Chintz Room recipe bread pudding. And we just have a great time on Friday. And he also brings in some kind of a Christmas-themed pizza. Now, we have had fruitcake pizza, which, of course, I'm not a fan of, but I think the fruitcake pizza at one point about cost Bob Welsh $75. Actual retail price of the fruitcake pizza was about $75. It may be more than that now. Sometimes Bob brings an ornament, but I don't want to pressure Bob to bring an ornament, but he has brought a couple ornaments over the years that are on our tree. We put the pizza crust star on the top of our tree and light the tree. That's part of the whole ceremony next Friday as we kick off the holiday season. But that's all the stuff going on here. So, in any event, if anybody's got anything to say in regard to that, feel free to give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But again, if you're not doing anything tonight, 6 p.m., Harding High School, Mary Ellen Withrow Community Room is going to be dedicated tonight by the Marion City School Board and Superintendent Brian Murphy. That is open to the public. 6 p.m. would be a fun event to attend, and something you probably will not forget. A real historic event tonight here in Marion. 6 p.m. Harding High School tonight during the Marion City Schools School Board meeting. There you have it. Now, as far as anything else we've talked about this week, which has mostly been Monday night city council committee meetings, does anybody have anything they would like to add to that? 740-383-9944. I think we've had great response on this all week. I I'm still confused, to be honest with you. I have seen the newspaper articles that have come out. I've looked at them on the newspaper racks. I've talked about it here on the program. Other people have been talking about it in public. The post that we put up on social media has well over 150 comments on it. I'm not really sure what has happened here. I really don't know. I don't know where the money has gone, and I don't know exactly what has happened. But I do know that it has made people very angry in some cases. I do know it has made people very uneasy. And I think a lot of that is because the fire station has been put on hold. Now, right now, they're going to look at it again in March of next year. But, you know, this passed in, 2022, when it was on the ballot. And people don't understand how this could have happened. So it's a big kerfluffle right now. And $5 million still has to be trimmed from the budget this year. And this has to be done in the next 6 weeks. And where is that money going to come from? Nobody really has a clue at this point. It's a rough situation. So if anybody has anything they would like to add or comment on, feel free to call in here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to buzz in. We can talk about whatever is on your mind. All the things I talked about early this morning, Mary Ellen being honored tonight by the Marion City School Board, possibly who should be a member of the Upper Crust Society that we are partaking in next week. We do this once a year. It's a big mess as far as a lot of people are concerned. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
Yeah, here we are.
Do they still have the peanut push?
You know they do, but it's not done exactly how it used to be done.
Oh, that's a shame. But back to the dire straits financially. All of these months that you've been bending over backwards, almost on your knees, begging the mayor to talk, I thought Marion had a public relations person.
Oh, who's that?
Isn't B.J. Gruber the public relations guy, or is he just public relations for the police department?
I thought it was just for the police department. I did not think he handled all public relations.
Well, you would think... you would think that the mayor would want to quell the anxieties of the taxpayers and explain what's going on, or try to explain what's going on by coming on and talking about it. You know, nothing gets resolved when you clam up.
Well, you know, let me try to make this clear, because I think I've been through this a couple times. If the mayor comes on or not, to me, that's not really a big deal. As I have said before, we always afforded that gesture to the mayors, Mayor Schertz or Mayor Kellogg, because they had things to talk about and they had things they wanted to clear up. So we always set aside, no matter what was going on in the world, that time every month so they could have an hour to do that. Now, as I personally... if the mayor comes on or not, that's not a big deal to me. But I certainly feel he's doing a disservice to himself, which is different than if he comes on here. I don't know that it's going to do anything for me. I don't know if that listenership's going to pick up because the mayor comes on. It's not really a ratings drawer. It never was. But I just think there are so many people who want him to do it, and there are so many people who just want to hear from him, and say that, hey, maybe things aren't as bad as they are. And a lot of the time, what the mayor tends to do, this mayor, is he will say after the fact, he will say, well, I was misrepresented. It really wasn't that bad. Media was saying things that weren't true. Well, this would be the forum to say, hey, you know, what you're saying is not right. Here's what it is. And we would correct that. And that's the invitation that I have sent to the mayor. And coincidentally, I have sent that to the mayor. I sent it to him Monday night. It's Thursday morning. I have not got a response. I sent that to Chuck Deem, the fire chief. Monday night, Thursday morning, still have not got a response. You know, that's the problem. It's not like a normal guest that you would go out and say, come on my show, come on my show, come on my show. This is more for his good than my good. And why...
Well, you would think that if he is supposed to be our leader, he should be the one to calm us down and tell us what's going on, how he's working to resolve the issues, and just be forthright with it all. He is essentially obligated, but yet he doesn't have the, what's the last thing that the brain is, when you become 21, you're supposed to. I guess he doesn't have empathy for the taxpayers. If he did, he would say, look, here's what's going on, and let people know what's going on. The only thing that comes to mind right now is, was it not FDR who had the fireside chats?
Yeah, it
letting
was.
Letting people know everything's going to be all right. Here's what we're doing, and here's what we hope to accomplish to make things right.
Right, but I think in this, listen, I can understand the mayor's side here, but I'm not sure why he would not want to do this, because if anybody can find any tape in which I have been unfair to a public official in a meeting, in an interview, find that tape. Because, you know, as I said, Mayor Schertzer and I did the monthly meetings for 16 years, and Kellogg and I did them 5 or 6. So I'm not really sure why Mayor Collins doesn't do them. I don't know if he doesn't want to explain what's going on and just wants to go after the fact and say, well, they misrepresented what I said. I mean, it's been documented many times that he listens to this show. Many council people have said it. Other people have said it because he's... Well, I know he's listened to the show because he made a comment about what you said on this show. So, we know he listens. Why he doesn't call in or take up these opportunities, I'm not sure. Because if he had a bad example of a time that, you know, I treated him unfairly in an interview, I would like to see that, because I don't think it exists. And when he was police chief and when he was deputy sheriff, I interviewed him. We never had a problem. When he was running for mayor, I had him on. There was never a problem. So I'm not exactly sure why this 2-year blackout with him has happened, but saying all that, this situation right now, it'd certainly be good to hear from him, and if he's got some kind of good news, I think we'd all like to hear it.
Well, to reassure us that it's not all doom and gloom, we are in financial straits. But hopefully they can be overcome. Hopefully he's got some kind of an idea with his brain trust to come up with a solution.
Well, I think that's what we're all hoping. As I've said the last couple days, he's got a chance here to show real leadership. He's got 6 weeks to get this budget pared down $5 million without causing the city too much pain, or finding a way to fund a lot of this stuff, this is his shot. And, you know, if there is a way to do that, I think we would all like to know. Because Monday night, those answers did not seem to be forthcoming.
When is the state supposed to, pay a visit, auditor?
Well, I don't think there's a given date on that. I think the mayor has requested it, and they come when they come.
And hopefully it'd be a public meeting, you know?
Well, I don't know if it'll be... I don't know how that'll work.
Or some kind of debriefing after that meeting that they meet. I mean, they're obviously... I can't see how they would not be meeting behind closed doors. But, you know, who knows? Well, hey, to a better tomorrow.
All right. And again, phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Feel free to call in if there's anything on your mind. And again, as I've said the last few days, with all the news that's coming out of Marion in regard to the finances, I would think that the mayor would want to speak to that. Now, I could be wrong, or somebody who works with the mayor. I don't know. I don't know how things work down there at City Hall now. But you think somebody would like to say something. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you? A week away from Thanksgiving.
You don't sound nearly as congested as you did.
I feel good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
'Cause Monday you were congested. But my thought to what Terry just said, to where some of this revenue, the money that we need, is going to come from. Right now, the city of Marion, if you work or live in the city of Marion, you pay a 2% income tax. And if you live in Marion, but you say you work in Delaware, we give you a credit for the tax that you pay in Delaware. So Marion's is 2%. Your paycheck is going to have Marion taxes taken out of it, and if you work in Delaware, it's going to have Delaware taxes taken out of it. So when you file your income tax up here in Marion, we give you a credit towards what you paid in Delaware. So if you paid, say you owed Marion $100, I'm just going to use small numbers to make it easy. Say you owed Marion $100 and you paid $50 in Delaware taxes, Marion would say, okay, we're going to give you $50 towards what you owe us. I see that tax credit going away. I see that Twyla Lang already tried it in the middle of this year, I believe it was. Yeah, it was like April of this year. It's the tax credit. She wants to reduce it by half. They already said it'll create $500,000 in revenue. And I believe that will be one of the first things they pass at the beginning of next year, because they will, Ayers and Rollins would not let it out of finance committee. You were probably there. Ayers and Rollins would not let it out of finance committee. Twyla got mad because that was an instant $500,000 shot in the arm. And she was actually going to retroactively, which means go back in time and tax people on money that they had already earned and they didn't know that they would have owed the taxes on until tax time. And Ayers and Rollins were like, no, we are not doing that. And I see that happening at the very beginning of next year. And I bet it'll be passed with an emergency clause and go into effect immediately. So I see an income tax for out-of-town workers coming at the beginning of the year.
Well, but that's only $500,000. I mean, this...
Yeah, but to them, they don't care. However they can squeeze us, I bet they raise our sewer bills. I bet those go up.
Do these people want to stay in office?
I mean, they've got 2 years to do it. They don't have to worry about re-election. They just got re-elected.
Well, listen, you start doing things like that.
Twyla was ready to do it in April of this year, and she was going to need to be re-elected.
Yeah, but at some point, somebody will have to explain all this. Why did it have to be done? What expenses were created that needed
to
be covered?
We do need to demand that. We need to know where. Okay, like I said yesterday, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that we paid $4 million worth of things that And I'm not even going to say shirts are leftist with the bill. Sometimes the way government finance works, and I've learned this through school, but I've learned it again through paying attention. Let's say you order a fire truck in 2020. Doesn't come in until 2024 because it takes that long to order and for them to be custom built and all of those things. So something that Scherzer was ordered under the Scherzer administration, it might now be coming due just simply because of timing, not because Scherzer said, oh, I'm not going to pay it. So that's another a bit of information when they're saying these things that they're not presenting the whole picture there. Yes, it may have been ordered under the Scherzer administration, but like Ayer said, Scherzer left you with the money to pay for it.
Yeah, but here's the problem. The problem is, if you go through with a pay raise for city council, mm-hmm. and you go through with adding an economic development position for $80,000 a year, which has not been filled yet, and then you raise the people's taxes to cover things like that, I don't think they're going to be particularly happy. And I don't think...
What are we
going
to do? What are we going to do?
Well, I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Our chance to do something was at the election, and we didn't have any choices then. We have... But this is actually what's going to happen. Perry asked, when did you think the state was coming in? It's my opinion, from the stuff that I've read, because I've been going through a lot of the auditor website stuff. I spent a lot of my time doing that. I'd imagine... This is my opinion, and it's just an opinion. When Collins sent that letter, the state had been here so much. Now, remember, our audit had just been released or was about to be released. The city had already had meetings with the state of Ohio when that letter was sent. And I believe, it's just my belief, that the state of Ohio said, you can send that letter and look like you're asking for help, or we can do this the hard way. And I believe we sent the letter to look like we were asking for help.
Right, but I don't think the state...
I believe it'll be about 30 days. I don't think it'll take too much more than a month. I think by the end of this year, the state of Ohio will have their fingers in our fight.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Not by the beginning of the year.
But I don't think the state of Ohio is going to come in and say, raise taxes.
No. Well, yeah, they will. They will slash and squeeze and burn. They do not care. Their sole job is to get our finances in order, and they do not care how bad it hurts.
Right, so you don't think they're going to start with things that are non-essential?
Oh, yeah, they will. They'll just go in and start slashing the budget right and left.
Well, you don't think that the budget director will be one of those non-essential things?
I believe that the grant writer and the budget director will be looked at heavily, and I was even thinking last night that the safety and service director might get combined again.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that's where they will start. I don't think they're going to start with tax collection. I think they are going to start
They'll look
with,
at everything.
Well, of course they will, but I don't think...
I mean, it's going to be easier for them to start slashing costs than it is to raise revenue. But the state of Ohio is not opposed to raising revenue. I think we all know that.
No, but I guess my point is, again,
yes,
is I think...
That won't be the first thing January 1 where they're laying down an ordinance saying raise taxes. That'll be our city council doing that.
Right. Well, I don't know it. It depends on what stage we're in, because I...
They were ready to do it in April, and they didn't believe they had
okay,
a spending
now,
problem in April. Remember? In April, they didn't have a problem. They were still spending...
Yeah, but now we're talking about... But now we're talking about two different things, because I don't believe the state comes in and takes over and starts doing that stuff until it's dire straits. And I think if they're still leaving the city council up to make decisions...
But here's the decision. Cut $500,000 in a month. I mean, those are the kind of decisions the state will give them. The city will still be able to say, we're the ones that decided to make the cut where the cuts were made. The state will say, you have to trim X amount of dollars
this amount of time. I don't think that's the question, though, at this point. The question is, you've got till December 31st to get the budget down $5 million. That $500,000 after the first of the year, okay, I guess, whatever. But I don't think that's going to help with the way the budget is right now. These are extreme cuts that are going to have to be done mm-hmm. before that ever could happen.
And imagine if we just tightened our belts, as they like keep saying, 2 years ago. Maybe we wouldn't be using the word extreme in front of the word cuts, because we would still be needing cuts, but they might not need to be extreme.
Well, yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is,
years ago, I don't really care what happens
next year at this point, because there is a big, big issue on the clock
right
now.
Oh, I know, the next 6 weeks. But here's the thing, what they're going to do is they're going to pass a budget that is in deficit. And then
I don't know if it'll pass.
Our money next
I don't think it'll pass.
Who's going to have no budget?
I do not think Ratliff will vote for it.
Ratliff won't be there to vote for it. It gets voted on January 1st.
Right, but I don't even think it'll get to the three readings. I don't think if you try to put a budget up there like they did Monday that is that out of whack and did not slash anything, I do not think it'll get past the three readings, and if you're not near the three readings on January the 1st, it isn't going to happen.
Well, then won't that be the headline? That he has no budget?
Well, no, he's going to have to cut the budget, which is tighten his belt, as he said. I think that's what he's going to have to do in the next 6 weeks. And, by the way, I do not think Ratliff...
Let me run down these names here.
I don't think Ratliff is going to vote for it.
No.
I certainly know Schauber will not vote for it. I do not believe Rollins will vote for it.
No.
I do not think... I don't think Dichtel will vote for it.
I'm going to go 60-40 on him again.
I don't think there's a chance Dichtel votes for it. I don't think Dichtel will vote for it.
On his way out. You're right. I agree.
I don't think Dichtel will vote for that. Right. And I'm not sure Thad will vote for it.
I don't know, man. He's just all about creating these jobs. And even when you sit up there and try to say, man, we got no money, he's like, well, Delaware's got a grant writer. We need one, too. What we need to realize is we aren't Delaware.
Right, but this is a little different situation.
I'm sorry, Scott, but some of these people are beyond their depth of expertise in running a city government. When you know you need more money and then you still sit up there and continue to create these positions going, well, I've investigated it and I've looked into other cities and they have these positions and I think we need one. They've done a lot of good and we need one too. Okay, we need a lot of things, but that doesn't mean we have the money to pay for it.
Well,
so I mean, I could list off a half dozen things that we need, but we
Well, here's the thing I think people should know. If there's no budget to pass on January the 1st, the city will shut down. Now, I don't think...
My goodness, wouldn't that be something?
Well, but see, I don't think we'll get to that point, because...
I hope we don't.
Well, here's what I think will happen. I think that Mayor Collins is going to have to trim this budget between now...
He's not going to trim it by $5 million.
Well, then I don't think they're going to pass it. I don't think they're going to get through the three readings. They're not even out of committee yet.
We need to get a clear idea of how much actual quote-unquote carryover, when I call it our savings account, we need to know what that dollar amount actually is. And then, you know what, they need to do how they did it, their approach last year where they did the 25% budgeting thing, then they need to do that and actually stick to it until they figure out how much money they've got.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know where you trim $5 million out of a $20 million budget.
You're talking 25%. I don't know how Twyla Lang passes this budget. I honestly don't know how Bill Collins told her to.
They said up there, Scott, after we talked about we are busted broke, $5 million in the hole, oh, hell, what's another $5,000? You know, for their cybersecurity crap.
Well,
what's another $5,000? What's the matter? I mean, once you're $5 million in the hole, does it matter if you spend another $5,000? I mean, that's the attitude these people are taking. That's not tightening our belts.
Well, these are
the people that are going to lead us through this. I see trash rates going up. I see all of it because they're going to have the council to be able to do it. There's not going to be anybody to buck them. The two voices of reason. I'm going to give Crater. Crater's going to be a voice of reason. The Rollins, maybe, but the rest of it, rubber stamp. But you want to raise taxes, you want to raise rates, you want to raise fees, raise. Stamp.
Well,
and then all that's going to do is push the people.
Well, this is, I guess, their litmus test then. If they don't want to be seen as that, and they claim that they are not that, that they are not a rubber stamp, then people like Sean Barr and Twyla Lang and Thad Smith and Ron Prater and Ralph Smith,
isn't a rubber stamp. Come on. Are we looking to Ron Prater to develop the economic policy to get us out of this mess? My God, I'm going to start selling my shit.
I did not say develop the economic policy. I said vote for a budget that's that out of whack.
I almost called you my husband's name. Scott, I doubt he knows what that means. I really doubt he knows what it means. If you sat down and asked him what he thought of the budget situation right now, I doubt he would be able to give you a good, coherent reason. Oh, it's bad. Okay, what do you think's bad? Well, it's not good. I mean, he wouldn't be able to explain interim funds and all that kind of stuff to you. Think about this. If you sat him down and asked him about interim funds and all this other stuff, do you think he would be able to explain it to you?
I don't know, but I do know.
What about the woman that's taken over for her heirs? She's getting up there talking about collecting on old sewer bills. That has nothing to do with the general fund. That has to do with the other fund that's $10 million short.
Well, I don't know. I'm saying...
But those are the people, Scott, that you think they're going to be the ones that up there advocating for sound financial policy.
I don't even know the difference between the funds. I have to give these people the benefit of the doubt until they vote for a budget that is not anywhere near unproblematic. Let's put it at this
What's unproblematic? What's the dollar amount for you that would make you comfortable with using carryover?
At this point, I would think you... If the projected revenues are $14 million and you have got possibly $5 million in the carryover, if you get
let's call it our savings account just so people...
Okay.
So our paycheck is $14 million. Our savings account, we think, has $5
million. Right. So if you are not down...
And we're going to spend every penny of it.
Well... No, see, that's a problem. So, if you are not... There are some things that have to happen. First of all, you have got to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 million. You're not going to get down to $14. So, you've got to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $16. And the things you have to cut before you start...
The budget, you think? So, you think the budget needs to be around $16?
Around $16. And the things...
So, you're good with using $2 million of our savings account?
I'm not good with it, but I don't know...
Well, but it's acceptable. We're not good with it, but it's the pain we're going to have to feel.
Yes, because most mayors do not pass balanced budgets.
I would think that's fair.
Okay.
I think using $2 million of our savings account is fair.
So, based on that, though, there are going to be some things you're going to have to do. Number one...
$2 million we need to cut from our budget.
Well, the things you're going to have to do, first of all, you're going to have to get rid of the idea of the economic development director. You're going to have to probably get rid of the budget director. I'm not advocating that anybody lose their job.
Get rid of the grant writer.
She does bring in money. I don't
know. But
what
are we going to... How many times have we said, okay, there's a match, and the match is only $20,000. We're not going to have those $20,000 matches now.
Well, she may have to go, I'm not sold on that one yet, but she may have
to go. Okay, I'm not either, but she's going to have to look for absolutely 100% free money. And we're going to have to take into consideration, if we're going to be eligible for grants now, that we have officially declared we're having money problems.
Also, I think you have to combine the safety and the service director. It was that way under Jack Kellogg.
I agree,
but who knows?
Bodine or Cowell? I'm picking Bodine to go.
I think you've got to do one of those things because it has been done before. I think you have to do that. I think you have to...
I think we have about 11, if I'm not mistaken. There's a good chance I could be wrong. But I was reading the police organizational chart. I think we have like 11 lieutenants.
I think you have to get rid of the downtown manager. I mean, I'm sorry. I just
We can't fund downtown Marion anymore. If you're going to cut the senior center, sorry, Alan, your 50 grand is going.
And I'm sorry, and again, I'm not advocating for anybody's loss here, but I there just comes a point, and you have to look at what is necessary and what is not necessary when you're in this type of shape. So I think that's something that would probably have to go.
Hey, everybody loves downtown Marion so much, they should be able to pick up $50,000 in donations, shouldn't they?
Well, somebody.
I mean, Lois Fisher offered to get $25,000 for Can-Do.
Well, there you go.
So let private enterprise take care of private enterprise.
And I also think you have to pledge that you are not going to do anything internally that's going to cost excess money. You have to pledge that everything is going to go through council that is financial.
There should not be any spending. There should be a complete spending freeze.
Right. And if these things...
Your discretionary spending should be paper and staples.
Right.
That should be allowed, which you're allowed to buy without asking.
Well, and I think, unfortunately, and this is not going to be popular, I think you have to put the things at the rec center on hold unless that's all covered by grant. I don't know.
I know no one wants to hear this, but there's going to have to be cuts to transit because it runs six figures in the red.
Well, you've got to shut down the nighttime thing, and people, that's not going
to
be popular.
Nope, and there's going to, because I know the last email I read, it was from Courtright to Shaver in July, it was 200 plus, well, I sent it to you, it was 200 plus, it was going to be 200 plus in the red. Now, it's still going to run in the red, but it's just not going to be allowed to run that deep.
And if you cut all that from the budget,
you're still not going to have 5 million.
No, you're not going to have 5, but you may get close to 3, and you may be able, and again, it's not going to be popular, but maybe a couple police officers and firefighters are going to have to go, and maybe then you may be close to cutting 3, which would get you near 16, which would get you over the hump without raising taxes.
But let's throw this whole monkey wrench into the mess. We have no clue how much money we owe the IRS. Zero.
Well, no, but you know, at this point, you may have to just...
And that could very well be six figures.
I just don't... What is going to be cut, I guess, is my point. If you don't do the things that I just said...
I think that's going to be the better question.
Well, if you don't... I don't know. I think if you leave all those things in place and then... Oh, and council's raises. I think you got to get rid of that.
Council raises need to go. Yep.
So if you do all of that, you could possibly put yourself in a place where, you know, things are halfway decent.
Yeah, because if you start getting rid of some of those big six-figure and high five-figure positions and you take the benefits that go along with them, then, yeah, you could hit easily $700,000, $800,000 easily in savings.
I mean, and if council members don't do these, if council members
don't...
I'll
tell you what, if you don't eliminate one of those people in the box, but you start eliminating trash men, I will organize a group of people, groups. We will pack the place. We will pack the place. So unless you all want to sit up there and listen to angry citizens for hours, I won't even say a word. I'll just sit there and smile. Unless you guys want to deal with that all year, next year, you will look around inside the building of City Hall and see where you can make cuts first before you start cutting the people that actually provide the services to us.
Well, we'll see what's going on.
Take care, Scott.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I don't know. It's very, very difficult. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. But there are just things that are going to have to be done, and you certainly don't want to do them, but that's the way it goes. Go ahead, caller.
Loving your city by the moment.
Every day.
Do we know how much it costs to run the city on a monthly basis, what that number is?
Well, I don't know. No.
I wonder who does know.
Well, you've got a budget director. I assume she would know.
I think that question needs to be put to the budget director.
Well?
So, we need to get a handle if we know how much. Oh, geez. See, that's why they're not ready for prime time. Politicians have really screwed this up. Hopefully we can get out of this nosedive and get back to...
Well, I'm interested to see what they're going to propose. I'm interested to see...
It will be interesting, but will they make a proposal before the state steps in?
Well, this, I don't believe when the state... People think the state's going to come in and start telling the city what to do, and I'm not sure the city is considered to be in that type of financial distress yet. So
Scott, how many years since they've passed audit?
Right, but if you look at these stages that you have to go through, it looks like the city is on the second stage right now. And that's not when the state takes over. So I don't know how that's going to go. If people are waiting for that, that may not come. They might come and say you need to make some changes. You need to get a plan together to figure out how you're going to do this. But the mayor's got to make that plan anyway before January 1st, because I believe he's got a budget so out of whack that he's going to have to make a plan before January 1st. I think that's going to come long before the state's plan.
And there's only, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks before next year?
Yep, that's right.
So, oh, God help us all to a better tomorrow.
Thanks. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, and maybe there is some great answer. As I said, maybe the mayor will show up on Monday night and he'll have some kind of plan on how he's going to handle this. You know, I don't think raising taxes is going to be very popular, but you never know, I guess, as they say. Maybe it'll be. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what we need to do is do what the Republicans always do. Let's raise the taxes on anybody makes under $100,000 or $200,000 a year and give the top two or the wealthier people a little bit of tax cut. Let's go by the Republican playbook.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen locally. If taxes go up, I imagine it's going up on everybody. But
Well, if the Republicans survive on that for years and years, why can't the city of Marion survive on that? We need to make the people that work the hardest pay for this discretion in the city.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll see what happens. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. And we'll be back after this short but important break.
You're not going to believe this, but three kids just stood on their chairs and started looking around.
I love it.
But no, the